Good Monday morning. It's Pastor Tony. This is Monday morning, Monday Minutes podcast teaching. Well, you can tell I'm already getting tongue-tied. So I hope you had a great weekend. It is Monday morning. Thank you for logging on. Thank you for taking time to listen to these podcasts and participate in these podcasts. Thank you so very much. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, I encourage you to help me spread it to other people. You can share the Podbean link, or you can tell people to go to therefugenm.com, click on Pastor's Podcast. For those of you that support our church, you can also choose online giving on that podcast. So we have been talking about Endgame, signs of the season, what is going on in the world. This is part three of our end time talk. I have been getting good feedback on this, so I know some of you are listening and some of you are getting something from it. Thank you, and I hope this blesses you in some way or another. So, as I always say, these podcast teachings are that, teachings. They're about discipleship. They're about helping us grow. So I'm not making these to prophesy somebody an exciting word, and I'm not making these to evangelize. I'm making these to help us learn, to help us grow closer and become more like God. We are now on this topic of end game, end time teaching, you know, and a lot of people are asking that question. Are you asking that question? What is going on in the world? You know, more and more people are talking and saying things like, things are not as normal, things are not happening as they normally happen. So what in the world's going on? So we've been talking about that. Now, there is no way that I could go back and repeat what I've been talking about so far. So if you want, if you have not listened to part one or two, then I would strongly advise you to go back and listen, because if you don't, this is not going to make any sense. Now, in part two, I talked a lot about historical reasons for the rapture, historical teachings of the rapture. In part one, I talked about scriptures concerning the rapture. I've also been spending some significant time talking about dispensationalism and versus the belief that there will not be a rapture, that there are not periods or dispensations of time, and that an amillennial view would say there is no physical, literal reign of Christ on the earth. Now, as I said, eschatology, end time teaching, is a peripheral issue. It's not worth arguing about, and it doesn't determine whether we go to heaven or not. What determines whether we go to heaven or not? Answer it for me. Someone answer it for me right now, wherever you are. Answer the question by faith in the blood of Jesus being born again, right? So this is just people's interpretation. The Bible is somewhat open-ended with end-time teaching, and different people have different standings. I do come from a dispensational view, absent of sensation. I've talked about that enough. I don't think you need me to repeat what I mean by that. If you don't know what I mean by that, please listen to part one and two. For everyone else, we're going to go on. I talked a lot about reasons for dispensationalism, and I just want to really continue to clear my mind on this to make sure we have a good footing of why I believe in a rapture. You know, I thought about this. Some people say, well, I don't believe in a rapture of the church or dispensationalism because that is people having an escape mentality. Well, my response to that is, and maybe you thought that. Have you thought that? Have you ever considered that? Well, if you say yes, or if you've heard someone say that, then I would say it depends. If it's taught in balance, you don't have to have an escape mentality. Just like, for example, you can believe in dispensationalism and not be sensational. I'm not sensational. I'm not a sensationalist when it comes to end time teaching. So, you know, you can split the two. I'm not ready to escape. I'm not wanting to end my life early. You know, when the rapture happens, if I happen to be on earth, God will take me. If I go by the way of the grave, hopefully as an old man in peace, then I'm ready to go. Meanwhile, right now, I am very destiny-driven. I believe God put me on this earth for a reason. I believe I was called by God for a purpose. And I believe, personally, I'm running after vision. I'm running after destiny. I'm running after purpose on this earth. And frankly, I don't want to go to heaven until I fulfill my role here. To live as Christ, to die as gain. When my role here is finished, I will gain eternity in heaven. So, you know, you don't have to have a let's hurry up and get out of here mentality to be a dispensationalist. No, you don't. You can separate that and have balance. Now, I do believe that we should want to escape the Great Tribulation, which we're going to talk a lot today about the Great Tribulation. So I do believe that Christians should want to escape that because that is a different period of time when judgment is being poured out. Jesus said that the Great Tribulation will be so horrible, unlike anything ever on the face of the earth, that if it was not shortened, no one would live. That's not just a bad season. That's not just a bad time. So, yeah, I do believe that God wants us to escape that, just like I believe he wanted the righteous to escape in the ark. And just like I believe God wanted the righteous to escape Sodom and Gomorrah. So yes, I do believe that. I said a lot last week about no one knows the day or hour, and we are to occupy till he comes. Luke 10:13. I do not believe we're supposed to shut down our life, sell our homes, cancel our insurance policies, stop having kids, sit on the roof of the church and wait on the Lord. That's cultish and weird. We know. No. Go at it. Live life. Be warning people. Be looking for the Lord, yes. Be discerning the times. The Bible says to discern the times. And we said last week that in Matthew 24:32, that we're supposed to look at the signs of the season like the way that seasons change naturally, physically. So we're supposed to look at that seasons, and the signs of the season should let us know at the hour in which we're living. He said we can know the signs. And I will spend one or two of these podcast teachings talking about those signs. I don't want to today. But he said those signs would come as birth pains. And we talked about that. So when we start seeing the signs increasing like birth pains, we're supposed to encourage each other with what's going on, spread the word, evangelize even more, warn people of the times in which we're living. So if we have our head in the ground and we're not looking at the signs because we're afraid to be an escape artist, then you know what? We're not fulfilling what the gospel says to do. We're supposed to warn people and know the times. So I wanted to add that thought about the rapture, and I wanted to add that thought about dispensationalism. So I do firmly believe that you can have a dispensational view absent of out-of-bounds, unbalanced sensation. So I think I've made that point very clear. I've made the point very clear that Jesus told us we won't know when the rapture is going to happen. You know, is there a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ? Yes. If there's going to be a rapture, and I believe there is, it is not the second coming of Christ. Underline that and please know that. The second coming of Christ happens at the end of the tribulation period. And so we're going to get to that. But today I really want to start talking about this tribulation period, if that would be okay. Have you ever wondered about the tribulation or the great tribulation? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever heard anyone teach about that? I'm sure you have. Have you ever read about it or studied it yourself? Do you actually know what that means? And so, you know, I'm just asking those questions to get your attention and to help us pay attention here and kind of set the stage of where I want to go. So believing that there is dispensations of time, we are in the church age. The church age will come to a close at the beginning of the next age, which is called the tribulation. So let's talk about that. First, the Bible says in Revelation 4:1-2, in Revelation 4:1-2, John is a symbol of the church in this revelation. He's taken up to heaven. And he begins to see things as God is giving him a revelation. Now, of course, I'm sure you're aware of this. If you're not, please know that Daniel prophesied the great tribulation in Daniel 9:27. Daniel 9:27 says the Antichrist will sign a covenant for 7 years with the nation of Israel. This event inaugurates the tribulation period. So if you don't know that, please know that right now. Write that down if you want to. Memorize it, something. The tribulation period does not begin with the rapture of the church. That's a very clear definition. I believe personally, am I wrong? I could be, but I don't believe I am. I believe personally there will be a rapture of the church. Very soon following that rapture of the church, there's going to be an individual rise up in world power. And this individual will try to get a peace treaty signed with Israel. Now, do you know that Donald Trump tried to get that done? Not calling him the Antichrist by all means, but most presidents try to get that done. President Clinton tried and failed. President Bush tried and failed. President Obama tried and failed. And yes, President Trump tried and failed. During President Trump's 4 years in office, there was great talk from many prophecy teachers and frankly many sensationalists that Trump was going to get this done. This is prophetic. Well, you know what? They were wrong. It didn't happen. And so it was just another birth pain. Israel is very important in prophetic things. Obviously, Israel returning as a nation in 1948 was a clearly legitimate sign of the season. Isaiah 11:12 prophesied that. Isaiah 11:12 says that Israel will be drawn back together from the four corners of the earth, and that was fulfilled, and Israel became a nation again in 1948. That was a very specific, legitimate sign of the season that we entered into the time period of what we call times prior to the rapture of the church. Israel becoming a nation in 1967 was a clear, legitimate sign of the season. America recognizing Jerusalem's capital to be Israel is not specifically said in the Bible, but I do believe it is a specific sign of the season because it further undergirds the idea that Jesus said in the time of the end, the whole world would be talking and fighting about Jerusalem, and that's what's going on. So I do believe those things. But I will say that President Trump trying to get that peace treaty signed did not happen, so it was not a literal, legit sign of the season. But the marking of the beginning of the tribulation period, that different period of time when the church age comes to a close and the next age begins, the tribulation, that is marked by the signing of a peace treaty. Signing of a peace treaty with Israel and surrounding nations is a 7-year deal. That's not Daniel 9:27. Now, we see in Revelation, going back to Revelation, John seeing the vision, Revelation begins to talk about the tribulation in Revelation chapter 6. You can read that and study that. I'm trying to go slow since we're talking and teaching and I'm giving lots of information. But when John is having the revelation of these things, it begins in chapter 6. And it begins, the tribulation begins with Jesus opening the first of the seven sealed scrolls. And the opening of the first seven sealed scrolls contains the rider on a white horse. Many believe that might be the Antichrist. It could be also symbolic for death. People argue about that. I would indicate that that's symbolizing the rise of the Antichrist using diplomacy and the promise of peace for Israel. The Antichrist comes promising peace for Israel, not the world. That's often very confused by people. Oftentimes people think that the Antichrist will bring peace to the world. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible indicates that the Antichrist will offer peace to Israel. Revelation 6, verses 3 through 4 is the second seal. And this second seal introduces a great world war. So, contrary to popular belief, have you ever heard that the Great Tribulation would be 3 years of peace followed by 3 years of... Well, that's not true. The second seal is opened in Revelation 6, 3 through 4, and that is a war that one-fourth of humanity dies. So really, you know, well, what about Russia and Ukraine right now? Is that the beginning of World War III? Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be sensational. We don't know. Hear me, please. We don't know. It could calm down. It could end in 3 weeks and be over with. And anyone who was out there prophesying that that was the beginning of the Great World War, you know what? They would be wrong. Egg would be on their face. So I'm not going to say God told me anything about it because God hasn't. And I'm not going to sit here and be sensational and say, this is it, this is it. No, we don't know. It could be. This could be the footprints, the beginning stages of that great world war that happens. Heck, we don't know. There could be a World War III and that ends. And then World War IV might be this great world war that starts and at the beginning. We don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to be fair and balanced. I'm trying to be honest and open. I'm trying to leave room here. We don't know. So don't pin me down now. Come on now. Don't pin me down and said, Pastor Tony said no. I'm saying we don't know. But according to Revelation 6, 3 and 4, the second seal initiates a great world war where a fourth of humanity dies. And I suggest, and I personally think, though I could be wrong, I personally think this is a nuclear war. Revelation 6, 5 through 6, the third seal begins and is opened, and that third seal begins the suffering of famine and inflation. I believe this is the aftermath of that war. Does that make sense to anyone? Revelation 6, 7 through 8, the fourth seal is opened. The fourth seal is opened, and it results, as all wars do, in death. This is where we see that one-fourth of people and living creatures die. By today's population standards, that would amount to 1.5 billion people. Did you hear what I just said? According to today's population, if that tribulation period would begin today and this war would happen today and one-fourth would die, that would be about 1.5 billion people. This is not a small skirmish where 5,000 or 6,000 people die. This is a major, major, major war. Okay? That's the fourth seal. We see that right in the beginning of the tribulation period. Revelation 6, 9 through 11, this passage starts talking about the martyrdom. This is the martyrdom of those who are converted under preaching. Now, the Bible tells us there's going to be 144 Jewish witnesses described in chapter 7, preaching the word of God. An innumerable number of people receive Jesus and are martyred by the government leader or the harlot, the religious system described in chapter 17 of Revelation, who gets her power from the Antichrist. Know that evangelism during this period is back in the hands of the Jews. Since the church is absent, the 144,000 Apostle Paul type believers will be powerful evangelists on the earth. Am I being as clear as water or clear as mud? I can't hear your answer. But you see, I'm trying to walk you through these scriptures and these opening of seals. There's going to be great martyrdom during the tribulation. There will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching during this time. The church gets lifted out. People start getting saved under Judaism preaching about Christ. So let's establish something here. Are you saying that people can get saved during the tribulation? Yes. The Bible clearly says that. The Bible clearly says that there will be saints in heaven that come from the tribulation. There will be martyrs in heaven that come from, yes. Is that a reason for people to wait and get saved until then? That would be purely stupid. I don't mean to say it any other way. I mean, if someone hears the message of Jesus Christ right now, when we're not in the tribulation, why would they want to wait? And by the way, 1/4 of humanity gets killed in a great world war early in the beginning of the tribulation period. According to today's standard, that's 1.5 billion people. And for all of those people out there, maybe this is you. Maybe you or maybe your friends don't believe in there's going to be a rapture, okay? Maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're right. But here's the deal. If there's not going to be a rapture, most likely you're going to be dead right after the tribulation period starts. So quit with this fantasy about you're going to live in your basement with stored up water. You're crazy. I mean, I'm just using blunt language here, okay? I'm not behind the pulpit. I'm just teaching on a podcast. I'm trying to help us grow. And I'm just using some straight up, bottom line, basic Tony language. You know what? That's crazy talk. Most likely you're not going to survive. But of those who do survive, there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching the gospel. And yes, people will get saved during the tribulation, but that's not a reason to want to wait until then to get saved. That's low wisdom. All right. Are you still with me? Out loud, by yourself, say yes. I imagine hearing your voices. Revelation 6, 12 through 17 introduces a sixth seal. This is the sixth seal, Revelation 6, 12 through 17. And the sixth seal exhibits the wrath of God poured out in the form of a mighty earthquake, the like of which has never been experienced. It is so severe that people call on the rocks to fall on them. Are we starting to see the picture? This is not just a bad season. This is not just a bad time. This is hell on earth. Revelation 8, 1 through 6, the seventh seal introduces the seven trumpet judgments, ending the first quarter of the great tribulation period and preparing for an even worse called the day of God's wrath or the great tribulation. Now again, this is just my opinion, but I believe the second half of the tribulation is when there's nuclear fallout, aftermath, famine, this great earthquake, destruction, death, sickness. Food is a shortage issue. Clean water is an issue. Safety is an issue. Shelter is an issue. This is what we're seeing happen at this time. Again, this is not just a bad day. This is judgment, hell on earth being poured out. Revelation 8 and 7 is the first trumpet judgment. It results in 1/3 of all the trees and grass being burned up by hell, fire, and blood cast upon the earth. So we're seeing now an intensity of disaster. We're seeing now an intensity of disaster being poured out. Thank God Almighty, I believe I will not be here during this time. And I believe no Christian has to be here during this time. Revelation 8, 8 through 9. I'm taking my time. I'm walking us through this. I'm giving you scripture. The second trumpet judgment sees a great mountain of sulfur falling into the sea and destroying 1/3 part of the sea and all living creatures in it and 1/3 part of shipping vessels. Think of it. Think of this. This is destruction even in the sea. Revelation 8, 10 through 11, the third trumpet judgment causes a great star or a meteor called wormwood. That word in the Greek, wormwood, means bitter. So most likely this is a meteor. And the third trumpet judgment causes a great star or meteor called wormwood, bitter, to fall on the fountains of the water and 1/3 of the rivers to turn bitter, resulting in the death of millions, even millions more dead. Now, you can just stop right here and think about this for a moment. How many of you have seen Armageddon, Judgment Day type movies? Right? We've all seen those type movies. Armageddon, literally in the 90s. Judgment Day type movies. Movies where there's great earthquakes. So, you know, we've seen these type of movies. Dwayne Johnson plays in one, The Rock. I mean, these movies are out there. And I don't know. Could it be that that God has maybe even inspired people to make movies to prepare people and warn people, that the possibility, I don't know, I'm just guessing, isn't that not feasible? Is that not possible? I mean, God wouldn't be a good God if God didn't warn people. And, you know, there seems to be this idea, even in Hollywood, that this earth will not go on forever, that things won't last forever the way they are today. Even science would suggest that. Even science would suggest that the star in our solar system, the sun, the star that is our sun, will eventually implode. It won't last forever. So even science would say Earth will not continue on as it is now forever. And of course, the Bible says that as well. Even Hollywood suggests there's going to come an end. And so now the Bible would say that this world never ends, but this age does. And there will be final judgment. And there will be destruction. And there will be a remade earth. Now, this is not some kind of pie in the sky, crazy, fanatical, goofy talk. This is Bible, I believe, taught in balance the way I believe it concerning the end. So, yes, the Bible would indicate that there's going to be a meteor at some point hit the earth. Well, right now, science says there's one about 10 years away that possibly might hit the earth. They're telling people it's going to pass us and then swing back around 2030, 2050. I need to get the information on that. I've read about it once. I need to get the information, maybe share it in one of these future broadcasts. So, you know, these things, again, I want to make the point. Why would God lead the church here for this? Revelation 8:12, fourth trumpet judgment results in one-third less sun, moonlight, stars, extending the darkness of night. Revelation 8:13, a special angel flies around the earth warning that worse judgments are about to come. I'm going to stop right there, park this until next time. I hope that you're getting something out of this. But I want to end with this. What's the point in talking about this, preacher? To cause fear? Just the opposite. The point in teaching about this is just the opposite. It's to warn us about things to come, to encourage us to be saved, to encourage us that you're on the winning side. There's nothing to be afraid about. There's nothing to have fear about. If you're in the church of Jesus Christ, you're covered by the blood. God will take you out. And even those who are here during this time who get saved, you know, still have the promise of salvation. You know what? We have good news, even in these shaking days, that God is with us. And I don't believe Christians have anything to be fearful of. God will take care of you. And I do believe that God will rapture his people out before this hell on earth begins. Have a great day. I hope you enjoy these broadcasts, and we'll see you next time. I won't see you next time. You can hear me next time. Have a great day.